More details on Patty Wagstaff's law enforcement encounter. Another angel flight is down. And the problems with Constellation aren't all technical. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, August 13th, 2008. Details are emerging in the story of a confrontation between veteran airshow performer Patty Wagstaff and law enforcement officials at Whitman Regional Airport in Wisconsin during AirVenture Week. The initial report from an ANN news spy suggested a DUI infraction, and while the charges filed reflect that, the details are not simple. Wagstaff says she was attempting to get back from the Gathering of Eagles dinner on Thursday evening, July 31st, and was en route to the Hilton using interior airport access sometime after 10:30 p.m. She says she was looking for the correct route when she was approached by event security. While Wagstaff declined to characterize anyone associated with the event as, quote, anything less than upstanding, unquote, other comments to ANN have characterized both event security and local law enforcement as less than friendly during the week. In any event, Wagstaff admits she was in the wrong place at the wrong time, says she's horribly embarrassed at the three-hour ordeal which ensued, and insists she was not impaired. Some credible industry sources who were in her company but desired to remain anonymous essentially back her story. But there's a problem. Wagstaff is scheduled to face two charges in hearings on September 2nd. The first is operating while under influence. The second is refuse to take test for intoxication. According to legal experts, Wagstaff's refusal to consent to a breathalyzer or other form of measurement will be viewed by the court as equivalent to a guilty plea to the DUI charge, which is, of course, a huge potential problem for anyone who makes a living in the airshow industry. We'll share more details as they become available. For the second time in 4 weeks, we find ourselves reporting on the fatal crash of an aircraft performing an Angel Flight mission. The Boston Herald reports three people, a male cancer patient, his wife, and the plane's pilot, were lost when a Beechcraft Bonanza crashed in a strip mall parking lot in Easton, Massachusetts yesterday morning. The plane was flying from Francis S. Gabreski Airport, West Hampton Beach, New York, to Logan International in Boston. Witnesses said the plane broke out of clouds about 400 feet above the ground in a spiraling dive, broke apart on impact, and burst into flames next to a supermarket. Angel Flight pilots donate their time to ferry medical patients for treatments free of charge. The pilots also pick up the costs of the flight. Watch for the preliminary report on yesterday's accident when it becomes available at aero-news.net. There's been plenty of recent criticism of the technical merits of NASA's Constellation program. But this is a new one. The agency's own safety panel warns the program is hampered by a lack of morale, money, and direction. The Associated Press reports that the ASAP, or Aerospace Safety Advisory Panel, in its 143-page annual report released on Monday, is generally impressed with NASA's safety programs, but cites surprising anxiety among NASA employees about many aspects of Constellation, particularly in areas related to astronaut safety. Constellation is NASA's next-generation manned spacecraft program, aimed at taking crews to the International Space Station and later to the Moon and Mars. The first manned flight of the Orion vehicle is tentatively scheduled no later than March 2015, just under 5 years after the last space shuttle mission is flown. Among the most worrisome findings in the ASAP report, the panel found that due to weight issues plaguing Orion, each safety feature must earn its way into the design. Constellation Program Manager Jeff Hanley says the fears are unfounded and adds, quote, if we tried to please everybody, the spacecraft would not get off the ground, unquote. The Air Transport Association has made good this week on its threat to sue the FAA over plans to auction landing slots at three New York area airports. A few days ago, U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters announced DOT will test the idea by auctioning one slot at Newark in September. The Dallas Morning News reports ATA has sued, saying the auction plan, quote, should be held unlawful and set aside because these actions are in excess of the FAA's statutory authority, constitute unauthorized regulatory action disguised as property management, are contrary to express statutory limitations imposed by Congress in the 2008 Consolidated Appropriations Act, are without observance of procedure required by law, and are arbitrary, capricious, and abuse of discretion, and otherwise not in accordance with law, unquote. ATA President James May said Monday, quote, FAA's claim that it can use its property management authority to auction slots is intellectually dishonest and a disturbing end run around Congress. This administration believes it can ignore the statutory limits of its authority to remake the industry as it sees fit, unquote. ATA contends congestion could be better handled by more air traffic controllers and upgraded equipment, not measures that will result in increased costs and the loss of service to small communities. Up next on ANN, Boeing may bail on the KCX competition. The VFW has a beef with baggage fees for soldiers. And American Airlines partners with the Komen Foundation. You're listening to AeroNews.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 13th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The third and latest round of bidding for a contract to build the U.S. Air Force's KCX aerial tanker is starting to look like a high-stakes chess match. Boeing challenged the award of the contract to Northrop Grumman and Eads in February, saying the Air Force violated its own standards in evaluating the competing designs. The Government Accountability Office upheld that protest and called for a do-over. Then, the Air Force issued a new request for proposals that Boeing says was altered to favor its competitor. In its latest tactic, Boeing is now threatening not to bid in the latest round. While that would certainly simplify the selection process for the Air Force, the Pentagon would normally prefer to avoid the higher costs and political baggage that can go with contracts that did not result from competitive bids. Boeing says it will wait for the Pentagon to release its final requirements for KCX before making a decision on whether to back out. If it does withdraw, it isn't necessarily smooth sailing for Northrop Grumman and Eads. Kansas Congressman Todd Tiert told the Wichita Eagle that if the bidding isn't run fairly by the Air Force, the House and Senate Defense Appropriation Committees, quote, could just cut off the funding until they do it right, unquote. Regardless of whether it's a time of war or not, it's a long-standing tradition among American businesses to cut a break to traveling U.S. servicemen whenever possible. That tradition is officially out at American Airlines, and one of the nation's largest veterans groups is telling the airline to straighten up and fly right. The Washington Times reports American Airlines recently charged two soldiers from Texas $100 and $300 respectively to check their extra duffel bags and defended the practice by pointing out that the fees are eligible for reimbursement. Or, as airline spokesman Tim Wagner explained, quote, because the soldiers don't pay a dime, our waiver of the fees amounts to a discount to the military, not a discount to soldiers, unquote. Veterans of Foreign Wars spokesman Joseph Davis counters that service members headed for a war zone should not have to worry about filing expense reports when they get there, or pay the fees out of pocket in the meantime. Quote, that's a lot to ask when the service member has much more important things on their minds, such as staying alive and keeping those around them alive, unquote. The VFW is asking the Air Transport Association to ask its members to exempt military personnel traveling on official orders from all excess baggage fees. Davis notes, quote, this should not be a very difficult decision to make, unquote. Actually, it may be. ATA President and CEO James May notes that the association cannot legally even suggest what airlines do with their individual fares and fees, but adds, quote, "We will bring this matter to their attention for their independent consideration," unquote. The Times found policies vary among carriers. U.S. Airways allows military personnel with ID free luggage up to 100 pounds. Delta and Northwest will take two bags up to 70 pounds in the cargo hold at no charge. Army spokesman Paul Boyce told the paper soldiers receiving travel orders should make sure excess baggage is authorized first, then submit a receipt for reimbursement. Quote, "We appreciate the VFW's help in assisting soldiers. It would certainly make it easier for soldiers, but there are other ways to help them recoup their money for Army travel," unquote. Another American Airlines announcement may slow the carrier's public relations spiral. American joined this week with the Susan G. Komen Foundation to unveil two specially co-branded aircraft, a mainline 757 and an American Eagle Embraer 145, each incorporating the pink ribbon motif that symbolizes the fight against breast cancer. Both parties say the distinctive pink streamers signal a new level of mutual commitment as American Airlines becomes Komen for the Cure's official airline and first-ever Lifetime Promise partner. Building on its 20-year history of supporting Komen nationally, American has pledged to raise a minimum of $1 million annually for 8 years to fund the foundation's first Promise Grant, a $7.5 million, 5-year-long study of inflammatory breast cancer at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. The money will come in part from the airline's annual Celebrity Golf and Tennis Weekend and from American's Miles for the Cure program, in which Advantage members earn miles for their donations. The pink ribbon planes made their inaugural flights to DFW Monday morning from Tulsa International Airport and Abilene Regional Airport, staffed by flight attendants who are themselves breast cancer survivors. In its preliminary report on the fatal crash of a Cessna 172 earlier this month onto a home in the Oregon coastal town of Gerhardt, the National Transportation Safety Board has confirmed that no flight plan had been filed despite the instrument conditions. The pilot and a passenger on the rented aircraft were killed, as were three children inside the home. Three more people on the ground were seriously injured. Early reports of dense, low-hanging fog at the accident site appear confirmed by the NTSB's report. The board says nearby Astoria Regional Airport reported calm winds and a 300-foot overcast minutes after the accident, with 2.5 miles visibility in mist below the clouds. Both temperature and dew point were at 12 degrees Celsius. The Associated Press has identified the pilot as Jason Ketchison and his passenger as Frank Tuohy. According to FAA records obtained online, Ketchison was an instrument-rated commercial pilot and CFI. Still ahead, NASA's General Aviation Technology Challenge produced mixed results. A home built collides with a car on I-40 in California. And Boeing expands its Hummingbird program at Victorville. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, August 13, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Steady progress, but no breakthroughs. That's the guarded assessment following NASA's second annual General Aviation Technology Challenge, which took place this past weekend at Charles M. Schulz Sonoma County Airport in Santa Rosa, California. Five teams brought planes to compete, hosted by the nonprofit CAFE Foundation. A Pipistrel Virus 912, a modified Diamond DA-20A1, a Dynamic WT-9, a UFM-13 Lambada, and a Flight Design CT where the aircraft entered. CNET News reports none of the planes qualified to win NASA's Green Prize, which called for a two-seat aircraft to fly a 400-mile course with fuel consumption of at least 30 miles per gallon. The closest any competitor came was 28.8 miles per gallon by the returning Pipistrel Virus motor glider. NASA hopes the Green Prize will eventually go to a plane that can fly at least 100 miles per hour while getting 100 miles per gallon. The modified gas and biodiesel-fueled Diamond DA-20 in this year's event was designed to go 900 miles on just 25 gallons, which would have easily topped the 30-mile-per-gallon mark, but a mechanical issue kept it from flying in any of the challenges. NASA ended up awarding about $100,000 of this year's $300,000 purse. $50,000 went to the ballistic parachute-equipped Pipistrel in the safety category. A $33,000 award went to the Lombada motor glider for being the quietest plane in the competition. Next year, the total purse rises to $400,000, and NASA says it will be emphasizing fuel efficiency as the ultimate goal. The pilot of a home-built Titan Tornado was killed yesterday morning when his plane struck a car on I-40 near Needles, California. FAA spokesman Ian Greger told the Barstow Desert Dispatch the aircraft landed in the westbound lanes of the interstate, then attempted to take off to the east. The plane got about 3 feet off the ground before it struck the car. Greger says the pilot was ejected from the aircraft and pronounced dead at the scene. The three people inside the sedan suffered minor injuries, but apparently declined medical treatment. There's no information available yet about the plane's origin or why it was landing on I-40. The pilot's identity has not yet been released. Boeing says its A-160T Hummingbird unmanned helicopter program will significantly expand operations at Southern California Logistics Airport in Victorville. The Victorville Daily Press reports the city council recently approved a 3-year lease for Boeing at the airport. The company's exact plans for the building, which is almost 7,000 square feet, are classified, but Boeing confirms it will use the extra room to expand the A-160T program and continue development. As ANN reported, in May, the Hummingbird established a new world endurance record in its class with a flight of 18.7 hours. The program has also seen two minor crashes, including one last December. Boeing has been testing the Hummingbird in Victorville since 2002 under a DARPA contract. Boeing plans for the Hummingbird to eventually fly to 36,000 feet. And finally, pilots at United Airlines have harsh criticism for the performance of their company's CEO, Glenn Tilton. But they want to make it clear that it's nothing personal. The Associated Press reports the United chapter of the Airline Pilots Association is even starting a new website devoted to listing what the union says are Tilton's many failings since he took over the CEO's job in September of 2002. Steve Wallach, who is chairman of the Pilots Union's executive committee at United, comments, quote, "Under Glenn Tilton's tenure, United has gone from being the finest airline in the world with the best route structure and safety record to a shell of its former self. He has had every opportunity to turn this company around and tap the abilities of its first-class employees, but instead he has run it into the ground," unquote. Then Wallach adds, quote, "This is not a personal attack on Glenn Tilton. These dismal numbers speak for themselves. They're a reflection of his inability to lead, his incompetence as a manager, and his failure in virtually every category that can be measured. We have tried every conceivable way to convince him to invest in and maximize the goodwill of his employees. He has failed miserably," unquote. If you want to check it out, the new website is www.glenntilton.com. You'll find pages with titles including Operational Failures, Strategic Failures, Financial Failures, and Employee Relations Failures. A banner at the top of the page above a photo of an embattled-looking Tilton says in large font, quote, "Glenn Tilton must go. United Pilots ask your help in removing an incapable leader." But as you read the site, just remember it's nothing personal. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Michael Kraft, VP of Research, Development, and Engineering for Lycoming Engines. We'll talk about three big announcements Lycoming made at Oshkosh. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.